going to read one verse by way of introduction this morning and speak on the thought of the full life of the believer. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's Word this morning. Father, we just glorify and praise Your name, and we thank You for Your presence in this place. And now, God, as we continue to worship You this morning, we pray for the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ to be upon us. Father, we ask that Your anointing would be upon Your servant, that You would give not only him but everyone who is here understanding. Help us to grow in Your faith, wisdom, grace, and truth. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think this morning was a good illustration for me. And when we have technical glitches like that, it probably affects me more than it affects anyone else. Maybe it shouldn't, but it does. And it can get you a little bit frazzled in life. Anyone ever been that way? Anyone ever have a morning when you're frazzled? And I think that's the way things are going now in the world. There's a lot of stuff going on, and people have, especially in our society, in our culture, in our country, have been able to stay above it all. But all the things that are going on are catching up to people. And it's starting to get people frazzled. In fact, not only are people frazzled, I think one of the ills that our society faces today is the ill of despair. Despair is everywhere. You see in the hearts and faces of people worry. You see fear. You see sadness. You see sorrow. And a no certain hope or future or hope for tomorrow. And unfortunately, we don't only see this in the world and those people who don't know Jesus. We also see it in the lives of people who should know better and who should experience better. Sorrow, despair, fear. Great stress upon their lives because of all the stuff that is going on. If we believe Scripture to be true, and I do, then the Scripture should reign true to us that we read by way of introduction this morning. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. If we know Jesus, our lives should be overflowing. And I think there's a misconception about knowing Jesus and living for Jesus, both out in the world, but also, sadly and wrongly, in the church. That the abundant, overflowing life of knowing Jesus, that full, satisfying life, full of joy and peace, and even excitement. There's a thought that that's something that's far away. That's something I'm going to experience after I die. That's something I'll experience, especially in the days that we live with all the signs going on around us, when the rapture comes. When Jesus comes to take us home. And then we're going to experience something great. But now we just got to kind of slog through life. We got to hack through it. We got to just grind through this thing until we see Jesus face to face. Now, don't get me wrong. When we see Jesus face to face, it will be immeasurably better then than it is now. But Jesus said in John 10, "I am come that they may have life and have it to the full." It was something that was experienced in the present. Back in the time of the early church and the lives of the apostles, And it's something that we can and we should live in now. And the world needs to experience. Unfortunately, the lack of abundance in life, full life, satisfying life, exciting life, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, has very two negative and horrible consequences. Three, actually. Number one, many believers are living far short from where they could be in Christ. They're experiencing a far less satisfying life than they could or should be. And second, and even more sad, more tragic, in the life of the believer who's not experienced an abundant, full life now, is the fact that many people, because they're looking for something, they've come to Christ, they're not finding full satisfaction in Christ, and so they're going back out in the world. And that's a story that unfortunately has been told too often, that we've seen too often in life. And it's sad. And I've had people tell me, you know, when I first came to Jesus, I was so excited, and I don't feel that way anymore. And yes, there are somewhat hills and valleys, but Christ has come that we might have life and have it to the full. And we should never lose that excitement and that fullness in knowing Jesus. And if the church isn't living in that fullness, it not only affects those of us in these four walls, but it affects all those prospective believers, members in the body of Christ. And I know that it shouldn't, but one of the things that might keep people from coming to know Jesus is seeing someone who has accepted Christ, is trying to live for Christ, just kind of slogging through life, just grinding through in misery. Because they already have that. They want something better. And so this morning I want to talk about how in life is life in Christ, excuse me, is life to the full. One of the aspects of the fullness of knowing Jesus, of having a relationship with Jesus, is the fullness of love. If you know Jesus, love should overflow in your soul. If you know Jesus, your soul, as far as that hunger which all of us have to love and be loved, should be satisfied. What do we see out in the world today? We see in society, and unfortunately we see even in the church, a society that's starving for love, that wants love, that needs love, and that's not finding love. I don't mean to quote a song. I don't even know who sings it. I'm not a big fan of it. You've probably heard of it. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Does that not describe our society today? People are looking everywhere for love. Look at what's going on in society, especially in the area of marriage or relationships. People going from one relationship to another relationship. People, unfortunately, going from one marriage to another marriage. Why? They can't find satisfaction as far as love in the relationship that they have. And the hunger for love and the search for love isn't just between a man and a woman, but we see it in other relationships as well. People have that craving for love, and they're looking here in the world to have that craving satisfied. They might look as far as in their children for it. They might look in their parents or even a close friend. And because that need is so strong, and it is strong, they suck the life out of that person trying to satisfy that hunger in their lives. And they end up having both of their lives of being miserable. Let me tell you, you're free to disagree with me, but I believe Scripture backs me up. There is no relationship on earth that will satisfy the need and the hunger and the depth of love that you have in your heart. Only Jesus can satisfy that, and only a relationship with Him. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 tells us this. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all saints to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep the love of Christ is, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wide, long, high, and deep. What is that saying? That's saying the love of God isn't one-dimensional, it's not two-dimensional, it's not even three-dimensional, it's four-dimensional. You might ask me, what's four-dimensional mean? I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but I know it's beyond me and it's beyond anything we can experience in life. Some people look for the satisfaction of love or the need of love to be met through sex, one-dimensional. Some through sex in a relationship, two-dimensional. Some in other ways. But only God. And that fourth dimension, which is our spirit, and actually I do know what it is, can meet that full satisfaction of love in your life. In many aspects to the love of Christ, Paul wasn't kidding when he talked about how unfathomable the love of God is, how deep and how wide. And literally, we can spend a month of Sundays talking about the depth of the love of God. But I just want to share one with you this morning, the course of this message. And it's early. I got plenty of time. That being acceptance. What are people looking for in life today? As far as love, looking for many things, but one of the big things that people are looking for is acceptance. They want to be accepted by people, and because of that, a lot of people are, especially in public situations or in relationships, are not truly who they are. Because they're afraid if they're truly who they are, when they come to church, when they're at their job, when they're with that special someone, that they'll be rejected. And so what do? They pretend to be someone else. You don't have to show your hands this morning. How many have ever pretended when you came to church? Why would you pretend? You know, you're having a bad day. Maybe you had a bad week, or maybe you had a week where you failed and you feel lower than low than you've ever felt in your life, or just feel extremely low. But you come to church and you know you don't want anyone to see that about you. You come here, you want everyone to think you're a spiritual giant. You know, I grew up in church. Everyone I went to church with was Elijah. You know? Praise God. So we put on a pretense. We put on a face. We pretend to be something we're not. We pretend to be happy. We pretend to be spiritual. We pretend to be knowledgeable. We pretend, us men, we pretend to be manly men and you know, we know all these things. Why? Well, pride has something to do with it. But another big thing that we're looking for is acceptance. When we come to Christ, we understand that we are accepted as we are. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because He first loved us. We're talking a little bit about that this morning in our very brief Sunday school class. The love of Christ, as far as coming to Christ, we don't have to demonstrate great love for Him. He not only has love for us. He demonstrated it towards us long before we were ever born. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a great verse! One of my favorites. And one of the reasons it is my favorite, it tells us how deep and how accepting the love of Jesus is. That even when we're at our worst, think in your own mind some of the horrible things that you've done, and we've all done things worthy of death. Have you ever hated someone? You're guilty of murder. Have you ever lusted? You're guilty of adultery. Lie, we cheat, we steal, we kill. If anyone knew the real us within us, we'd have no friends, no family. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves us. And like the father in the story of the prodigal son, and his son came, I imagine, with the stench of the pigs that he was feeding. Let me tell you, I lived not too far from a hog farm, and when we lived in southern Illinois, and a day like today, that young man, and you know, pigs unclean. But the father ran and didn't say, get a bath, clean up, and then come see me. He grabbed and hugged him, kissed him. God accepts us as we are. And knowing that not just here, but knowing that and experiencing that in our heart is what living for Jesus is all about. Full and overflowing. I mentioned earlier, there is no... You'll never be satisfied. You'll never have any relationship satisfy your need for love if it's in the world. But if you love God, we love because He first loved us. Not only will your relationship with Jesus, you know, it's true, it doesn't seem right, but you know, I've seen it in the apostles. I've been fortunate to have friends and family and a church family always with me. I've always felt loved, but you know, in reading about the apostles and some missionaries who were all alone in hostile environments, their lives were still overflowing. Why? Because the love of God flowed over their hearts. But let me tell you, when we have experience and we're living in that overflowing abundance of God's love, not just here, but in our hearts, in our spirits, not only is it enough, but it enables us to love others as God has intended us to. We love because He first loved us. We're able to love. I'm able, and I'm not perfect by any means, but I'm able to love my wife, my children, you, in an immeasurably greater capacity as I live and walk in the love of God than if it was just me. Experience the love of God, it sets us free to love and not only experience love. Secondly, there is the fullness of the anointing or the presence of God. There's a fullness in the anointing or the presence of God. The Bible in numerous areas says, with the anointing comes great joy. How great is the joy that we receive when the Spirit of God rests upon us, when the presence of God is there. Well, as I read Scripture, I see the joy that believers should experience, especially when God is moving on their lives, whether it's we're together or we're at home praising God or in God's Word, is overflowing. Listen to the reaction of those who saw what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Of course, on that day, the Spirit of God was poured out on the 120 who were seeking God in the upper room, and they were praising God in other languages. And such a ruckus was going on that everyone took notice. Verses 12 and 13 tell us, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Now, why would they say that? Why would they say that they've had too much wine? Was it because they were speaking in other languages? Not at all. They were different people from different cities that were there. So, you know, if someone was speaking, I know it wasn't French and Italian, and it was Scythians and Medes and, you know, all those different language groups, no big deal. But rather, the way they were speaking in other tongues or other languages. They weren't just sitting there, "Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Hallelujah." Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. And sometimes there are times of quietness. When they were praising God, they were doing so with overwhelming joy, as if they were drunken. These men were filled with wine, or new wine, as the King James Version says. And what was wine used both back in those days and even today? As a tool of merriment. Drunk at weddings and other times of celebration. And when the Holy Ghost hit these people, that they were just overflowing with joy, shouting into the top of their lungs the praises and the glory of God in a demonstrous, boisterous, joyful manner. People took note. Now look at our society today. What is one of the main scourges and afflictions of our society? That of addiction. People looking for that high. People looking for that fix. For many, many different reasons. Some because the pressures of life are too much. They can't cope. And so they need something. They need an alcohol, or they need alcohol. They need some type of drug to help them escape reality. Help bring, give them that peace and that joy to help them to be happy. Sometimes it's a matter they're just bored with life. They need more than just what's here in life. And they want an experience above the normal every day. Life is boring to them. I know there are other causes, but you see what I'm saying? And in Christ, if you truly know Jesus and you're filled with His Holy Spirit, out of your rivers flow, out of your belly flows rivers of living water, an overflowing abundance of everything that is Jesus, not only love, but also joy and happiness. We don't have to go to the bottle if we know Jesus. We don't have to shoot up if we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? God is more than enough. And even now gives us, I hate to use the word high, but gives us such a feeling of euphoria because we're filled to overflowing with the power and the glory of God. No drug is necessary. You might be sitting there saying, "Pastor, I don't believe it. I know what you're saying, but I doubt it. I think you're just giving me a line." Don't knock it till you try it. And let me tell you, when you wake up the next morning, you feel great. So I've been on both ends, both sides of the equation. Thirdly, is the fullness of adventure. You ever wonder what's in the mind? And maybe some of you guys are like that. And God bless you. People like to jump out of planes or, you know, climb rock cliffs. Extreme sports. There are people out there who, you know, just go in the, you know, the 9 to 5 and everything, and in the nice little house. It's just not enough for them. They need to do something. They need to jump out of a plane. They need to face death. I met a guy once. We went rafting up in Maine, and he told us he'd go out camping, backpack camping, you know, not with all kinds of stuff, but backpack camping in 5 feet of snow. And he wasn't kidding. And you know why? He said the reason is because you might die. You ever feel that way? Some people do. Some people don't really feel like they're living unless they're facing death. And there's an exhilaration, you know, something exciting when you're facing death. Well, according to the Word of God, if you know Jesus, you're facing death each and every day. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 17, and I like to think of facing death, and I like to think of the adventure. And men especially, we need to understand that. And this is the sad thing. This is the tragic thing, especially in the mind of men regarding serving Jesus. Many men feel that serving Jesus means that you have to become emasculated and become just a nice little, I don't want to say woman, but, you know, to become a Christian means you live all your manliness out there. And they think of scriptures, and I'm not taking anything away from these scriptures. They're true, and they're powerful. Blessed are the meek, Matthew chapter 5, they shall inherit the earth. Jesus said, if someone strikes you on the right, give to him the left. And you know, now Christianity is almost a sissified life. And I just have to be good now and smile all the time and never say anything. And that's not what serving Jesus is all about. In fact, the greatest adventure there is, even more so than climbing mountains or jumping out of airplanes or facing the enemy on the battlefield. And there are people who are zealous to fight war. All that is and more in serving Jesus. What was the call of Jesus to his disciples? Come and become a sissy for Jesus. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 17 says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You know, I don't like to tell people what I watch on television because there's always someone who's offended by whatever you watch. It could be the news, it could be whatever it is. But I do have to admit, I like that show where the crabbers go go out in Alaska, and it's pretty amazing. Fishing is not for sissies. Fishing's for men. Jesus said, I've called you, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. Now, I've never hunted, but I have fished. And there's nothing more exciting than getting a hit and setting that hook. And not just a little, you know, a little sunny. But, you know, one of the best catches I ever had. Catfish are good. And I haven't fished here. 8 years I've been here, I haven't fished. And shame on me. But I used to fish quite a bit out in Illinois and when we lived in Pennsylvania. But one of the best times I had was I hooked something called a carp. I don't think they have them around here. But do they have them? They're kind of a nuisance fish, but they're fun because they are fighters. And if you just try to reel that thing in, it's not going to get in. It'll break your line. So you got to play with it a little bit. Sometimes you got to do that with catfish, especially if you have big catfish. And then once you land it, yeah, you're going to eat it later, but the thrill of it is catching the thing. Ask any hunter. Yeah, they love, and I've known hunters, and they love deer meat. But boy, the excitement of the kill, of tracking, there's not many things. That's why people are devoted to it. I knew people who who ate, breathed, and slept hunting because of that thrill, or jumped out of airplanes or did all those things. Serving Jesus is not just as, it's even more exhilarating than jumping out of an airplane, hooking a fish, or bagging that deer. But what are we called to do? Two things. Number one, we're called to fight the enemy. We are involved with war. In fact, is not our society, and maybe I'm just speaking to men this morning, so please forgive me, but are not the men in our society, you know, searching for this, searching for this excitement? I'm not a big video game guy, but the video games that I see, what are they mostly of? Guys shooting one another. I think it seems like it would get monotonous after a while, but, you know, war and Call of Duty and combat and cowboys and all this stuff. Overcoming and defeating your enemy. That's what serving Jesus is all about. And the stakes are so much higher. They're real. And not only are they real, they're eternal. Let me tell you, as a pastor and as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and as much as I love to fish and as much as I love to win a game, board game, you name it, whatever, forgive me for that. Got that competitive streak in me. The greatest feeling I've ever had in my life is when I lead someone to Christ. Or when someone has a breakthrough in Jesus. They've been struggling with something and all of a sudden God comes in and you've been kind of a tool or an instrument of that happening in their lives. Or you know, seeing a marriage or family restored, seeing some type of victory. No greater high, no greater experience than that. There's much to do in Christ. In fact, there's no greater satisfaction than to become more than who you are in Jesus. Let me tell you, the greatest person you have to conquer in your life is yourself. Your own weakness and your flesh. In fact, even the so-called bad stuff in Christianity, and then you say, is there bad stuff? No, there isn't, but Jesus said we'll be persecuted. Even that is a fulfilling, exhilarating, full of life experience. Acts chapter 5, verse 41, after the apostles were persecuted for preaching Jesus. The Bible says the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Were they sadists? No. But when they stood up for Christ and when they shared in the sufferings of Christ, the power of His resurrection descended upon them. Hallelujah. And all they could do was rejoice because they were so full inside. I'd like to ask Jeremiah if you'd come this morning. And as he comes, I'd like us all just to bow our heads and close our eyes. And especially now, I just ask that no one would be looking around. The first person I'd like to talk to this morning is maybe the person who's here who's never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Or perhaps you did a long time ago, but because you didn't find this life satisfying, or you found the thrill of living for the world, you found it greater than the thrill of serving Jesus. Today is the day to come back and to do it right. Let me tell you. And I'm going to say this both to the person who may not know Jesus, but also to the believer, to the servant of Jesus. You can't live until you die. In fact, this is another thing we're talking about in Sunday school this morning. Famous quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And the quote goes something like this. I don't have it verbatim. Didn't write it down this morning. When Christ calls someone, He calls them to die. You can't live until you die. And the only way to experience all of Jesus is to give Him all of yourself. And until you're ready to make that commitment to give all of yourself to Jesus, you'll never have a life that's overflowing. You'll never experience all the love that Christ has for you. You'll never experience that power, that anointing, and the joy that comes with it. None of those things will become a reality in your life, because those promises are only made to those people who give everything to Jesus. Everything. Some of you are sitting there and saying, you know, I want to serve God. I want to live for God, but I've got these other things in my life that I know I can have, but I don't want to give them up. Let me ask you this morning. Are you deep down inside, not on the surface, but deep down inside, are you truly happy? I dare say that you're not. But this morning, I know, because God is not a man that He should lie. And if you give your life completely to Jesus, He will give you Him. He'll give you so much more. He'll give you full life, abundant life in every way possible. But it will only come at the cost of complete surrender. If any man comes after me, let him pick up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I live, but not I, but Christ lives within me. It's a theme throughout Scripture. If you're here this morning, I'm going to open up the altars. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm not going to lead anyone in any prayers this morning, because coming to Jesus is just a matter of, God, I give my life to You. And I know, especially in a church our size, to respond to a message like this, especially a specific call like this, can be somewhat intimidating. Sometimes we need to give our pride to God in order to see and experience the fullness of the riches of Christ in our lives. And so as Jeremiah begins to worship, I'm going to invite those whom, you know, either you've never accepted Christ, or you've walked away from Christ. Let me tell you, coming to Jesus is as simple as this. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calling on Jesus and saying, God, save me. I give my life to You. And for those who are here and there are things in your life that you're holding back, and the Holy Spirit's really dealing with you now. I'm not talking about things you don't know about. I'm not talking about things that I'm telling you. I'm talking about what the Scripture says. I'm talking about what the Spirit of God may be convicting you of this morning. Listen, those things, as close as they are to your heart, they're barriers to full life in Christ. That peace, that joy, that satisfaction, that exhilaration. You won't regret it, because you can't live until you die. Really live. I invite you, either where you're at or somewhere up front here, come make a place and make peace between yourself and God, and surrender your life anew and complete before the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand with me, and as we sing, those whom the Spirit of God is dealing with, would you come? And I'd like to ask our elders to come too, in the name of Jesus, to pray for those who are around the front this morning. Jeremiah, if you would.